text 41. Mayahi yasya jagaranda shatani sute trigunya tad vishaya veda vitayamana sattvalambi parasattvam vishura sattvam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So this series of verses, 39 through 42, is a collective theme. It's Krishna is the basis of all existence. So here, in this verse, we'll read the translation. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, sattva, rajas, and tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world, whose influence, in other words, Maya is made of the three material modes, sattva, rajas, and tamas. And to propagate, to propagate the Vedic wisdom, which pertains to the truth, he manifests the Vedas. Purport. The active mundane quality of Rajas brings forth or generates all mundane entities. Right? Mode of passion causes creation. The quality of Sattva, mundane manifestive principle, in conjunction with Rajas, stands for the maintenance of the existence of entities that are so produced. In other words, the combination of sattvagun and rajagun maintains the creation. And the quality of tamas represents the principle of destruction. In other words, ignorance destroys everything. The substantive principle, which is mixed with the three mundane qualities, is mundane, whereas the unmixed substance is transcendental. What does that mean? That means that there's two kinds of sattva-guns. There's sattva-gun and then there's vishuddha-sattva. So the sattva-gun, when it says the substantive principle, that means sattva-gun, that is a mixture of the three gunas. In other words, sattva-gun is a mixture. There's a little, even though we say sattva-gun, there's some rajagun and tamagun mixed in. And that's mundane or material. But there is a pure goodness, unmixed substance. That's called shuddha-sattva, pure goodness, and that is transcendental. The quality of eternal existence is the principle of absolute entity. The person whose proper form abides in that essence is alone, unalloyed entity, non-mundane, supermundane, and free from all material qualities. In other words, this is describing Krishna. He whose form abides in that existence of Vishuddha-sattva, or pure truth. He's devoid of any influence of Maya, he's transcendental to the material world, and he's devoid of all mundane qualities, or gunas. That says he is cognitive bliss, which means he is joy personified. It is the deluding energy who has elaborated the regulative knowledge, Vedas, bearing on the threefold mundane qualities. So what this explains is that the Maya, in other words, Maya is the agent which has propagated all the regulative knowledge or the Vedas pertaining to the three modes of nature. And we'll discuss these points one by one. First of all, this verse is establishing, it's talking about three points. That Krishna is Vishuddha Sattva. His existence is totally pure. And this material world is impure. It's made of the modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance. And then it talks about the Vedas. At the Vedas, there's two aspects of the Vedas. There's Vedic knowledge, which is mundane and produced by Maya. Maya diffuses the mundane knowledge. And then there's a transcendental Vedic knowledge, which isn't mentioned here, but that's also there. This verse, Brahma only says that Maya diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. So, if we look at these points, the first point is that the material world, there's no such thing as pure goodness. Because we're making a contrast here. We're comparing Krishna and the material world. The whole idea is to establish the identity of God, how God is different from matter. We're part of the material world, and what is the difference between us and God? What is the difference between this world and the spiritual world? So this verse is, Brahma is trying to establish that, and this is also an introduction, because he's introducing now the subject of Vishuddha Sattva, that Krishna, he's above, he's the origin of all existence, everything comes from him, and he's completely pure and beyond it all. He's transcendental and beyond it all. And then he's going to explain how, in the next verses, he talks about Durga, or Parvati, Durga, and then Shiva, and all these different entities, how they are part of this material world, and they engage in service here. So first he establishes, you know, Krishna as the support of all existence. So we want to understand a little bit, there's some nice quotations from Bhagavad Sandarbha about this material world, how everything is a mixture. Just like oftentimes we see someone who's supposed to be a brahmana. Oh, so he's a brahmana. So brahmana is supposed to be in sattva-gun, right? The mode of enlightenment. But there's no, we don't find anywhere in the material world that someone is totally in sattva-gun. There's always some mixture. Because his eating habits may be sattvic, his eating habits may be sattvic, he may be speaking sattvic, but he may be thinking rajasically, or desiring rajasically, or even tamasically. Sometimes we see people, and that's what we call incongruencies, or we say inconsistency in behavior. We say this person is inconsistent. You know this word, inconsistent. In other words, they have an expression in colloquial English. They say, some people talk a good line, and some people walk a good line, but very few people talk and walk a good line. So this is very similar to what how Sanatan Goswami glorified Haridas Thakur. He said, Haridas Thakur, you talk a good line and you walk a good line. He says, many people, Sanatan Goswami, he said, many people, brahmanas for example, they may behave very nicely. They may behave very nicely. They know all the right ways to wash their hands and how to dress neatly and cleanly. So they behave very nicely, but they don't preach. Their achara is very good, or their sadachara is very good, but they don't preach. And other people, they preach. They're really enthusiastic preachers, but their behavior is not very good. They go out and spread the holy name everywhere in big kirtans or distribute a lot of books. They like to preach, but when it comes to the fine points of cleanliness and maybe interpersonal dealings, they're not so sweet or kind or loving or perfect in all their behavior. So Haridas Thakur, he was glorified by Sanatan Goswami. You walk a good line, you talk a good line. You preach very nicely and you behave very nicely also. So this is kind of possible because he's a devotee. Because he's actually transcendental. So that therefore he can exhibit the perfect behavior and the perfect preaching. Whereas a brahmana, he may, because he's mixed with his rajagun, sattvagun, he can't actually be completely perfect. So sometimes we look at someone and say, oh, he's a brahmana. How can he engage in business? How can he run a gas station? Brahminical means you're sattvic in your attitude, you're sattvic in your food. Like someone's a brahmana and they're doing all puja and everything, but they also eat onions and garlic. So that onions and garlic are rajasic and tamasic. So now, although he's primarily vegetarian, but so 90% of his diet, you could say, or 95% of what he's eating is sattvic, but 10% is rajasic and tamasic. So then he can't be a true brahmana, a pure brahmana in the truest sense of the word. Or his, so many things are like this. So this is what Jiva Goswami explains, that you'll never find in the Bhagavad Sandarbha, he says the three modes of material nature never exist alone. If one of the modes is present, the other two are also present. This is confirmed in the following statements from Vedic literature. Sankhya Kumudi. The three modes of material nature are always present together. So that's why we say even in the mode of goodness, there's ignorance and passion. If you find pure goodness, that person's a liberated soul, because pure goodness is Shuddha Sattva. That means goodness, not only with, because goodness can only become pure goodness when they become transcendental, or when you become a surrendered devotee. In a scripture called Bhatika, he quotes, "The three modes of material nature are present together. They do not remain alone. If one is present, then the others are also present." So someone, he's a Brahmana, that means, well, mostly he's sattvic. Or someone said, he's a Vaishya. So what is, or he's a Kshatriya. What does it mean to be a Kshatriya? Well, Kshatriya is mostly Rajasic. And then what does it mean to be a Vaishya? He's a Vaishya, he's a businessman. Well, Vaishya, a businessman means, well, he's mostly Rajasic. Or he has a good amount of Rajagun, passion, but he has a good amount of ignorance too. Right? And then what does it mean to be a Sudra? He has mostly all ignorance. And maybe a little bit of passion because he gets off his butt and does some work once in a while. So working and movement means passion. If he was totally in ignorance, he would sleep 24 hours a day. Some people like that. So then nature awards them the body of a bear. Because bears can sleep 24 hours a day, 6 months a year. Bulu. Bulu? Bolo? Bulu? Bolo? Balu. Balu. And Balu can sleep 24 hours a day for 6 months a year. So he's definitely the model figure for the mode of ignorance. But also he's not totally in the mode of ignorance because there's some movement. His heart is moving. His blood is moving. Even while he's asleep. So there's some passion there, otherwise he'd be dead. And there's some goodness there too, because the super soul is maintaining his existence by the arrangement of the various demigods existing in his body in their expanded forms. So that's why everywhere all three modes are present. It's a matter of percentage. Someone's 94% ignorant, 3% rajasic, and what's that leave left? 94 and 3 is, and 2% sattvic, right? That's like when you come to Krishna consciousness. You're 97% ignorant, 2% rajasic, and 1% sattvic. Then after 5 or 10 years, you become 90% ignorant. And gradually up the scale, isn't it? So in Agama Shastra, it says, the three modes of material nature are always together. They cannot be separated from each other. So, so it's a mixed bag, as they say. Our bag is a mixed bag. This body is a bag, right? It's a bag of mucus, bile, and air, kaph, pitta, and vayu. So they used to have an expression in the old days, it's a mixed bag. So this bag is a mixture of different modes of nature. This whole material world is a mixture. So, this point is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 40, where Lord Krishna himself says that all living entities in the material world, including the demigods, are contaminated by the three modes of nature. So we see the demigods are very sattvic, and they're very controlled, and they're enjoying a good sense of life, but then sometimes they get a little wild. You know, like Indra. Indra generally is somewhat sattvic, but he has a good percentage of Rajagun. So then he lets loose and goes and steals somebody's wife or, you know, misbehaves, and then he gets punished. So even the demigods are not completely free from all this contamination of the other modes. So goodness alone, or a cable shuddha, or only goodness, is not possible in the material world. If someone was in pure goodness, they would be a liberated soul, or they'd be in the spiritual world. So goodness in the material world never exists in a pure form. The three modes of nature are constantly in conflict. Sometimes the mode of goodness defeats passion and ignorance. Sometimes ignorance defeats the mode of goodness. That's why we emphasize the power of association. For example, the old analogy that's used, that if you take one page of a telephone book, one very thin paper in a telephone book, like in a big city, and you take one piece of paper, you can easily rip it. You can just rip it with one hand, rip it out, and with your fingers you can rip it, tear it. If you take the whole phone book, like the New York City Manhattan phone book is about this thick, so many millions of people, and you try to rip that, you can't tear it. How is it possible? Right? It's because the power, although one sheet alone is very weak, but when 3,000 sheets are together, unified in one place, associating tightly together, it's impossible to rip them or tear them. So the devotee, this is the power of association. Where we may be by ourselves, if we're alone and we're not fully liberated, then we can become overpowered by the mode of ignorance, by tamasic association. Like a devotee, for example, he maybe before he was a devotee, he would sometimes indulge in intoxication, drinking or smoking charas or something. But then by the association, living in a temple and following, eating sattvic food and engaging all this sadhana, then his senses and mind became somewhat purified and started to gain more and more sattvic qualities and sattvic energy and sattvic vibration. But then he went home to visit his relatives, went home for the weekend, and then his brother was there and some of his old friends. And they were just sitting there, and they're smoking, and they passed him the peace pipe, so to speak. And then he didn't even think about it, because the habit is second nature. He just took it, and they went, I'm supposed to follow the four regular principles. I just got intoxicated. So why did that happen? It happened because of bad association. So that's why oftentimes new devotees, until they actually develop some very brahminical and pure qualities of mind and behavior, they're not advised so much to associate with material people. Asat Sangatyag, Vaishnavachara. This is the meaning of that, but material people means the material modes of nature. A Vaishnava should be very careful about associating with the modes of nature. If he associates with a person, a man or woman who's in passion or ignorance, then they will become infused with passion and ignorance. It's natural. If you associate with someone in goodness, then you'll become infused. That vibration will pour into you and will inspire you. So it's very, very important to choose our association. And we see what our weak points are. We know what our weak points are, so then we should avoid any association which will bring that out. Like you think, I have to go to this place. I have to go visit my relatives, and it's a wedding party. And I know everyone at the wedding party will be drunk. And I have a soft spot for diplomat, whiskey, or aristocrat, or whatever they call it in India. It's okay, I'm a devotee, I'll go there. But then you go there, and then you become infected by that association. Because you're only one sheet of paper then. When you're by yourself, then you're only one sheet of paper. You may be pretty flimsy. By yourself, you may be a pretty flimsy devotee. Not so strong. You know, you're not like a rock of Gibraltar or something. You're very, like, weak. But then when you mix up in the phone book with all the other devotees, when you slide in next to page 100, between 100 and 102, as page 101, then you have a lot of strength. And it's what I mentioned the other day. It's called pratibimba bhakti. You reflect the bhakti of your surroundings. So the temple is full of bhakti and the ashram. And so when you live there, you pick all that up. And then you think, you actually think, oh, I'm pretty strong. Hey, I'm tough. I'm as strong as a whole phone book. We think we're as strong as a whole phone book. I can go here, there, everywhere by myself and mix up over here or go over there. And then you go over there and all of a sudden you see, ooh, wait a minute. I'm getting a little fuzzy. I'm getting a little nervous here. I thought I was really deep. I thought I was really advanced and really fixed in sattvic qualities and undisturbed and peaceful and pure-minded. But now, and outside of that, I stepped out of the phone book, and I stepped out of the association of the sattvic sangha, the sattvic sangha, the Vaishnavas and temple, and now I see that I'm not so big after all. I'm not so strong after all. I'm actually really weak. And I ought to check myself a little bit with a touch of humility. And nip my pride in the bud a little bit and actually face the facts that, well, I have a long way to go. So this is the modes of nature which we're dealing with. So now Krishna, in Uddhava Gita, in 11th canto, chapter 13, verse 2, Uddhava asked Krishna, he said, well, okay, how do you strengthen the mode of goodness? Because if one is situated in the mode of goodness, then he's inclined towards spiritual life. When the mind and intelligence become sattvic, then he has a great inclination and a great enthusiasm for spiritual life, for sadhana bhakti. But as passionate ignorance increases in the mind and in the senses due to passionate eating or ignorance, too much ignorance in sleeping or too much passion in sleeping or too much passion or ignorance in eating, and then that quality of passion, ignorance increases in the mind, intelligence and senses, then we lose our enthusiasm for the sattvic practices of sadhana bhakti. In other words, contamination sets in through the senses, through the mind, through the intelligence, due to our attitude, due to our mental attitudes, due to our eating habits, due to our sleeping habits, due to our cleanliness habits, and especially due to our association. If day after day after day we associate with tamasic and rajasic people, it will wear us down. If day after day we associate with sattvic people, it will polish us. It will purify us and elevate us closer and closer to God. So then Krishna says himself, he answers, he said, by sattvika upasaya. Sattvika upasaya. It means cultivating sattvagun. So he says one can strengthen the mode of goodness by cultivating things already situated in goodness. So Krishna says in the 11th canto, we can strengthen the mode of goodness by cultivating things that are already situated in goodness. In other words, that's called sattvika upasaya. Upasana means a cultivation or a practice. By choosing food, attitudes, work, and recreation strictly in the mode of goodness, one will become situated in that mode, which is what I already mentioned. So just like a person... A lot of people are totally amazed by because we have an expression, you are what you eat. People that are coming to Krishna consciousness, they never had prasadam before. Maybe we're never vegetarians. Some people, they became vegetarians when they joined Krishna consciousness. A few weeks before, some people were vegetarian a week before, a month before, like that. So then they found that just by taking Krishna prasadam, which is of course completely not only sattvic, but it's shuddha sattva, it's pure goodness, it's transcendental, that so much changes happen with them just by doing that. And some people just become vegetarians by associating with ISKCON, and they say, oh, I feel so much better, and I'm so enthusiastic. And you can see just by that one sattvic association, cultivating sattva guna and eating has such a tremendous effect on purifying the mind and intelligence. So this is the practice, by cultivating it in our attitudes, our food, our work, etc. Pure mode of goodness brings one to Vishuddha Sattva, pure goodness, where all knowledge automatically manifests and one easily understands one's eternal relationship with Krishna. Madhvacharya gave a commentary. He said that increasing the mode of goodness strengthens religious principles, and the invigorated execution of religious principles strengthens the mode of goodness. In other words, by enthusiastically following religious principles, then that will strengthen our mode of goodness. It's kind of they go together. When we associate with the mode of passion, ignorance, then goodness goes down. And when goodness goes down, our enthusiasm for practicing religion goes down, chanting our rounds, getting up, attending programs, associating with devotees, reading. Then when that goes down, then our sattva-guna goes down more. It's like a downward spiral. So this is the material energy. But then Krishna, as Brahma explains, that Krishna is beyond this. He is Vishuddha Sattvam. Sattvavalambi parasattvam Vishuddha Sattvam. The Krishna, he's transcendental. So then this verse is explaining about the position of Krishna in the spiritual world. In Vaikuntha planets, there is no mode of material passion because nothing is created there. And because there's no mode of material ignorance, nothing is destroyed there. And because there is no mode of material goodness, nothing is material there. Everything is spiritual, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. because the time factor is also absent. The time element agitates the material energy, and from that agitation, the three modes of nature are born. Because in Vaikuntha there is no material time, which is the cause of the six varieties of material transformation, there are also no three modes of material nature. So there's no transformations. The six transformations, everything in the material world goes through the six transformations, which during those six changes or six transformations, the three modes of nature are playing their role, right? One by one. First, there is what the first thing is beginning. The beginning, the start, the birth, the creation, right? That's the first transformation. That requires passion. Then there's growth and development, expansion. That's also passion. Then there's maintenance. That's goodness. Then there's producing of byproducts. That's passion. Then there's dwindling or decreasing. And finally, destruction or death. That's ignorance. So in every human being, every man's life, every woman's life, they go through these six transformations. Everything in this world goes through six transformations, whether it's a tree, a living being, or even a living entity, or even a living institution. An institution is created out of passion, passionate desire to do something to create some institution or some government. Then it may exist for some time and be maintained by sattvic principles and intelligence. Application of good discrimination and intelligence may maintain it. And then, due to the passage of time, ignorance may increase and then it may fall apart. There's no intelligent leadership. There's no cohesive balance of discrimination in the leadership. So then it becomes destroyed. So everything, you can look at everything in this material world and see that everything goes through these six transformations. But in the Vishuddha Sattva region of Vaikuntha, where pure goodness reigns, there's no tamagun, rajagun, or sattvagun. There are no six transformations. Krishna is always Navayovanam. He's always a youthful, beautiful, youthful boy of Vrindavan. Do you ever see Krishna with a long gray beard? You ever saw? No. On the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was 90 years old. But you don't see Krishna with a long beard. This is the nature of Vishnu. Now there's some interesting points about Lord Vishnu and the mode of goodness, which I found interesting, which I learned in the class on Brahma Samhita a few years ago. And it said, Vishuddha Sattva means where the spiritual aspects of the Lord's potencies are acting. Pure goodness is represents a liberated platform of perfection. In other words, when we come to the platform of a sakti, intensely attached to Krishna, then Krishna will become very pleased by all of our actions, and our thinking and our speaking and our feelings will be very pleasing to the Lord. And we will become attached to the Lord, and the Lord will become very attached to us. And He will put us under His shelter and directly take control of our lives at the level of a sakti. And at that level of a sakti, He will bestow upon us His Vishuddha Sattva. His Vishuddha Sattva is sometimes called His Swarup Shakti. His Swarup Shakti, as we mentioned before, as described, is a combination of the Samvit potency, or you can say, knowledge potency, and the Ladini Shakti, or the bliss potency, Ananda potency. And that will elevate, that will promote the devotee to the platform of Bhava Bhakti. And that will increase his ananda and bliss will increase more and more. His loving feelings and sentiments will increase more and more for the Lord, and rise through the level of bhav to the full illumination of the Krishna prema, the sun of Krishna prema, will illuminate his mind, heart, and soul. And of course, this Vishuddha Sattva fills him with all knowledge. As we mentioned, the sign of one who is in pure goodness is that there's a manifestation of all knowledge. You become acquainted with the ocean of truth. And the same thing in Lord Brahma, he became acquainted with the ocean of truth. All knowledge became revealed to him when he attained the mercy of the Vishuddha Sattva potency of the Lord after the performance of his intense meditation and chanting of the Gopal Mantra for 1,000 celestial years. He heard the flute sound of Krishna, which brought him the Brahma Gayatri and Kama Gayatri, and all knowledge was there, and like this. So, we read in the purport an interesting point. That Lord Shiva, he's in charge of the mode of ignorance, destroying the universe, but he's something contaminated or adulterated by contact with that. And Lord Brahma, he's in the creates the world mode of passion, but he's also affected by that. Sometimes he gets overwhelmed by passion. But Lord Vishnu, he's overseeing mode of goodness, but he's not affected or have anything to do with the mode of goodness. In the 11th canto, chapter 4, verse 5, it mentions that creation is done through the material mode of passion, and annihilation is done through the material mode of ignorance. But it doesn't mention anything about how the creation is maintained by Lord Vishnu through the material mode of goodness. In the 11th, it doesn't say here that the material creation is maintained through Lord Vishnu by the mode of goodness. Why? Because Vishnu is Vishuddha Sattva. He's existing on the platform of unlimited transcendental or pure goodness. Although Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are somewhat affected by their prescribed duties as the superintendents of the modes of nature, which I already mentioned. If Brahma becomes infected by passion, by associating with passion and creating, he also becomes a little passionate. You see sometimes if someone is engaged in a passionate activity, then when they're just doing some passionate activity with their hands, or they're building something, and if someone comes in very calmly and quietly asking for something, because they're doing some passionate activity, their mind has become so into it that they speak very roughly, very passionate. Oh, don't bother me, I'm busy. So the passion of the activity has affected their attitude, and so here's a living entity, maybe their beloved husband, wife, children, whatever, and they just chop their head off practically, because the daughter came to see the father, and she just wanted to say, oh please, I want to call you for dinner or something. Don't bother me, don't you see I'm busy? So he'll like just explode like that because of passion. He can't function. He's just totally absorbed, 100% passion, and he's become affected by it. Ordinarily, later on, he'll repent about that. And he'll go to his daughter and say, well, I'm very sorry. I didn't mean to chew your head off. I was just really busy and I was so absorbed. I didn't realize it was you. I thought it was somebody else or whatever. So then we feel sorry for our misbehavior due to the being controlled, out of control, due to the modes of nature. So Brahma is the same way, and Lord Shiva, of course, is the same way. He gets a little angry sometimes. Bhriga Muni came to test who was God. He almost killed him. Bhriga Muni is his brother. So he got so angry, he took his trishu, and he's going to chase him and kill him. And Parvati, all merciful Parvati, calmed him down. She said, whoa, wait, slow down. Lord Shiva is your brother. You don't kill your own brother. Oh, yeah, I got a little bit wild there. I got controlled by anger. That's told in Bhagavatam. So Vishnu, he is not... he's Vishuddha Sattva, completely beyond contamination and even any contamination from the material mode of goodness. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. This is a verse that means that Krishna, Lord Vishnu, or Krishna has no work to do. He doesn't do any work. He has no duty or work to perform. Lord Vishnu, being the Supreme Lord, his activities of maintaining the brahmanas and religious principles are not work. Because what does it mean that Lord Vishnu is the maintainer? That this material universe is maintained by sattva-gun, by goodness. And Lord Vishnu is doing that. The universe is maintained by the brahmanas being protected and by religious principles being protected. Because if there's no brahmanas and no religious rituals and jagyas being performed, then the universe falls apart. It becomes completely tamasic. Or it devolves through the yugas to become Kali-yuga. So Kali Yuga is basically a devolution of the universe going from Sattva Gun to Tama Gun. And when the Tama Gun becomes irrevocable and completely unlimited, then Kalki comes and destroys all the demoniac, ignorant leaders and foolish, rascal Sudra leaders. And then again, the cycle goes the other way and becomes Sattva Gun again by the Lord's arrangement. So this... Krishna, Vishnu is maintaining this material universe by protecting the brahmanas and protecting religious principles, right? Yada yada yadharmasya glanirvapti bharata prajanaya sadhana vinashya chudiskritam. But he himself is not doing any work. He's not doing any work. He has no occupational duty. He's not working. But Brahma's working to create and Shiva's working to destroy. So that's described by Jiva Goswami. He says it's because, unlike Brahma and Shiva, Vishnu is different. Because that's what this verse is explaining in 41. How did Vishnu or Krishna is Vishuddha Sattva. Vishnu seems to be part of this material world because we say there's three lords of this world. Brahma, Vishnu, Brahma, Mahesh. And so we think they're all kind of equal, all the gods. But it's a complete difference which Brahma is trying to explain here, that I'm Brahma. I'm the Rajagun avatar. And Shiva is the Tamagun avatar. But Narayan or Vishnu, he's not the Sattvagun avatar. Sattvagun is being maintained by energy, by Sattvagun, which he's controlling. But he's controlling it. It's simply his lila. It's his pastime. So Jiva Goswami explains that on one level you can say that Vishnu is a guna avatar, but on another level he's also a lila avatar, which is a fact. And this whole shristi, this whole creation or maintenance, everything is also ultimately his lila, which is executed by Shiva or Brahma or by himself. So his lila maintaining is called palana, palana lila. Palana means maintaining. His lila maintaining this world is done through his protection of the brahmanas and the religious principles. Therefore, Krishna is devoid of all material qualities like mundane goodness, passion, goodness and passion, ignorance. Krishna is an ocean of transcendental qualities. Therefore, there's no need of any inferior quality of the material world. So now there's some interesting points in the purport we'll try it another 10 minutes to finish. Because if you read the purport here, if you study the Brahma Samhita, you should have a question. And the question should be on this one. The quality, it says here in the second sentence, that the material world is maintained by the combination of Rajagun and Sattvagun. You see that? In the second sentence. It says the material world is maintained by the combination of Sattvagun and Rajagun. But then a person who will usually say, how is that? How is that possible? I thought that Sattvagun was maintaining and Rajagun was creating. So this is the question. And this question was answered like this. So why does it say that the maintenance of the material world is done by a combination of Sattva and Rajagun? Because Vishnu is beyond Sattvagun and Rajagun, but he acts for the maintenance of Sattvagun. In the material world, there is no pure Sattvagun. The Sattvagun of Maya is a mixture of Rajagun, Tamagun, and Sattvagun, every guna. Of course, Lord Vishnu is certainly above Sattvagun. He's in Shuddha Sattva, or pure goodness. He doesn't contact the material mode of nature, but he inspires the demigods like Brahma to create and Lord Shiva to destroy. So that's the answer was given when I took this class before, that it's considered to be the reason it says that maintenance is done by a combination of Rajagun and Sattvagun, because this is maintenance of the material world. And the material world is maintained by the material sattvic quality. But we already mentioned that there's no such thing as pure sattva. Right? All the material modes are a combination, a little passion, a little ignorance. So even this material nature is manifested by a combination of sattva and raja. Just like when we talk about the four varnas, which you already mentioned. The Brahman is supposed to be mostly in sattvagun. Then the Kshatriya, he's in sattvagun and rajagun. Then the Vaishya, he's in Rajagun and Tamagun. And then the Sudras and Tamagun. Right? This is how it's explained. So now, let's see. So then a question may be asked, well, if Lord Vishnu doesn't contact the material nature, and he doesn't contact the mode of goodness, then what do we mean when we say Lord Vishnu maintains the material world, or the Lord Vishnu is maintaining the material world? What does that mean? Lord Vishnu is maintaining the material world. As we said, maintenance is a combination of sattvagun and rajagun. So that particular aspect of maintaining the material world is done by his appointed superintendents, his appointed representatives, like Shankara or Shiva, like Brahma, like Durga, etc. So they're maintaining it. Because Vishnu is always doing lila. He's always having yoga nidra, which we already discussed in the earlier section of Brahma Samhita. He's having yoga nidra with Ramadevi. Ramadevi is his divine consort. So he's always enjoying wonderful pastimes with Ramadevi. It's called yoga nidra. We say yoga nidra means yoga sleep. Yoga sleep. But it's not yoga sleep. It's where the husband and wife come together in intimate pastimes. Yoga means union. The yoga nidra, which we already discussed, is the confidential pastimes enjoyed in private with Lord Vishnu or Mahavishnu and Ramadevi, which appears to those that are in Mahamaya to be some kind of sleeping. But under Yogamaya and spiritual energy, it's their transcendental enjoyment that we discussed last year in the previous parts. Now, in the last sentence of the purport, it says that it is the deluding energy. All right, what's another word for the deluding energy? Maya. Right? Everyone agree? You know what deluding means? Deluding means to confuse or to mislead or deluding. The deluding energy, in other words, Maya, who has elaborated the regulative knowledge, Vedas, it is the deluding energy. In other words, it is Maya who has elaborated the Vedas bearing on the threefold mundane qualities. So this is the last point I want to discuss, that in other words, material desires which are born from the three modes of material nature are facilitated by the Vedas, which are influenced by those modes, which I mentioned in the beginning of the class. There's the Vedic literature primarily is produced by Maya. This external energy has produced the Vedic literature. Because in the Vedic literature, 90% or 95% of the Vedic literature is Karmakand and Gyanakand, which give the different prescriptions and rules and rituals and regulations for those people who have material desires to facilitate or fulfill those material desires by following the proper or requisite Veda. That's why the phrase is there. Material desires, in other words, the living entities, human beings have material desires which are created or born from the three modes of material nature. Sattvic desires, rajasic desires, passionate desires, lusty, greedy desires, etc. These are born from the material nature. They're facilitated by the Vedas influenced by those modes. For example, there's the 18 Puranas. So six of those Puranas are Sattvic Puranas, and six are Tamasic, and six are Rajasic. So those people that are in Tamagun, and they have so many ignorant desires, they want to drink wine, and they want to eat goats and things like that, they can take the Tamasic Puranas, produced by Maya, produced by the illusory energy, and on Amavasya, they can cut the head off a goat, and then they can offer to Goddess Kali, and eat that goat meat once a month on Amavasya. Or they can offer her wine, and then drink the wine, because they're in Tamagun, so they can gradually. But there's a whole other group of Vedas that are dealing, the Vedas dealing with the modes are diffused or disseminated by Maya. But there are other Vedas, like the Bhagavad Puran or Srimad Bhagavatam, which deal with the transcendental subjects, and they are diffused or disseminated directly by the Lord or by his representatives. So you see that the Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Amala Puranam. It's completely pure Purana because it only advocates pure devotional service to Radha and Krishna. There's no mixture of the modes. Dharma Projitikaitavotra Panamalana Matsuranam Sattam. So any kind of mixture of the modes is a cheating system. So 95% of the Vedas are cheating people, but ultimately they're not cheating people. They're cheating people in the sense that they fulfill their material desires, which is a kind of cheating, but at the same time they're fulfilled in such a way that they gradually elevate themselves to a higher mode of nature, from Tamagun to Rajagun from Rajagun to Sattvagun, and from Sattvagun to Vishuddha Sattva. So this same theme is there, as this verse says that I worship Krishna, who is he's above, he's transcendental. The Vedas deal with the three modes of material existence, but Krishna is transcendental and beyond them. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 2, verse 45, the verse is told to Arjuna by Krishna. He says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdwandvo Nityasattva Sto Niryoga Shema Atmavan. Krishna advises Arjuna to rise above the three modes of material nature, become transcendental, as he is. He says the Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Arjuna should become transcendental to the three modes, be free from all dualities and ideas of gain and protection, be established in the self. In other words, this is a Gita 2:45. So the Vedas, even Krishna is saying, Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Vishaya means the subject matter. Vishaya and Ashraya. So Triguna Vishaya Veda. Vishaya Veda means the subject matter of the Vedas is the Trigunas, Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. Nistrigunya Bhavarjuna. But he's saying, Arjuna, you should go beyond, transcend Nistrigunya, go beyond those modes. Then what? Nitya Sattva Sto, Nirdwandvo. He should not be bewildered by the dualities or live in this plane of duality. He should come to the plane of Vishuddha Sattva. It says, Nitya Sattva Sto. You should situate yourself on a platform of Shuddha Bhakti or Pura Bhakti, which is the Vishuddha Sattva platform. Then he says, Nir Yoga Kshema Atmavan. Atmavan means, like Bhagavan, I mean, Atmavan means to possess the self or to know the self. Be established in the self. Realize yourself. And then he's saying, he says, Niryoga Shema. He said, don't worry about your protection or your gain, about your maintenance, your gain. Don't worry about anything. Because that's what the Vedas are all about. The Vedas are all about these two subjects. Shema, Niryoga and Shema. They're all about maintenance. They're all about protection, getting protection. So many covetous, protection from this, protection from that, protection from enemies, protection from graha, planets, protection from politicians, all these things. Protection from insects, scorpions, snakes. So many covetous are there throughout the Vedas. Just like some people, they wear covetous, like, because they want to be protected, right? From Maya. But not necessary. On the platform of bhakti, no covetous is required. Because Krishna says, declare it boldly, Arjuna, my devotee will never perish. So, do you believe in the Shastra? Because this is the quality of the neophyte. Before he gets initiated, is supposed to believe in the Shastras. Confirmed. It's a heavy confirmation. That's a stroke of providence. So a neophyte must believe in the Shastras. What does that mean? I mean, get the wrath of God on your head if you don't. The next one will be on your head, you neophyte. That's quite an appropriate confirmation from nature. So it means that I believe that everything in the Shastras is correct. So when Krishna tells Arjuna to declare boldly, Konteya pratijanihi name bhakti pranashati, that the devotee, name bhakti pranashati, he's never destroyed. He's not destroyed by planets, by animals, by people, by disease, by anything. Oh, yeah, he's not destroyed. But I've got 16 covetous here, 3 covetous there, 5 black strings here, 3 red strings here, you know, 14 jewels here, 17 jewels here, you know, pearl necklace around my head and pearl earrings. Because I have so much faith in the holy name and so much faith in the words of Krishna and so much faith in the Shastras. See what a pure devotee I am? See, I got 20 rings to show you how pure a devotee I am. This is all, it's called Sakama Bhakti. This is all bhakti full of desire. Prakriti Bhakta. So, Krishna is not telling that in the second chapter. He's saying, Arjuna, forget about it. Rise above all the Vedas. Because all astrology and rings and all this tantric knowledge, that's all from the Vedas. So he's saying, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistrigunya Bhavarjana. Go away from, transcend all that. Be situated in the platform of self-realization and Shuddha Bhakti. So this concludes our discussion of this verse 41 about these different points, how Krishna is beyond the modes of nature, and he's maintaining everything. And the modes of nature are, the material world is made of these three modes of nature, and you'll not find anywhere this any purity. They're all mixed up. But when you come to the spiritual world, there is pure existence and pure goodness beyond time and the influence of Maya. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is the absolute substantive principle, being the ultimate entity in the form of the support of all existence, whose external potency embodies the threefold mundane qualities, sattva, rajas, and tamas, and diffuses the Vedic knowledge regarding the mundane world. So, any questions? First principle is to begin creation. So that is, you know, that happens quickly, this creation, or, you know, for some time. But maintenance means the continuation of what's been created over a period of time. You know, the continuation of the thing that's been created over a period of time, that state where something is continuing to exist over a period of time, that state of existence is called the state of maintenance. You understand? Explain in your language. These are different states, right? The business is created. Yeah, we got together, we discussed it for a few weeks, we made a charter, we made a contract, we made a memorandum and all these things, and then we made trustees. So how long did it take to create this business? Oh, it was about 2 months. We got it all done. Oh, great. It was registered. Oh, how long has it been going on? Oh, it's been going for 25 years. So that's the creation period was 2 months. Right? Now it's maintaining for 25 years. Right? I think it's pretty clear, yeah, isn't it? And then while maintenance is going on, this is part of what you're saying, from what maintenance is going on, and some other things are going on. Not only are we maintaining, but we're also doing more creation, or you can say producing something by byproducts. You know, a husband and wife got married, and it, you know, took a couple of months, and they've been married for 4 years. Then after 4 years marriage, they produced a child, a byproduct. There's maintenance and there's byproduct, right? I mean, excuse me, I forgot growth. There's creation and there's growth. You know, grow. You grow to, you know, you're not growing anymore, maybe that way. But you're not going this way. You know, growing as we know. Of course, growing is going on every second. If there's no growing, there's no, you know, we're dying every second, we're born every second. You know, there's a whole lot of metaphysical ways you can look at this also. You know, it's like one continuous compartment. But when philosophers want to analyze it, they analyze it in these six divisions. Although it's all happening simultaneously, you know, all six are going on, you can say, synergistically. I'm dying, some of my cells are dying right now. Some of the cells, my body is made of cells. Some cells are dying, they just died. Some cells are just born. Some cells are maintaining. Some cells are dividing, right? So that means making byproducts. Some cells are getting old. And some of my cells have a little cane and they're walking around. Oh, I'm almost, and they're dwindling, right? Right? And some cells are growing, they're multiplying, and no. So that's all going. So you could say, in one sense, all six things are going on at once in the living body. Isn't it? Can anyone refute my presentation? But they do analyze, but you can also see in a larger way, in a more external way, from a more macrocosmic viewpoint, that things are produced, they're created, then they grow and maintain, and then they produce, maybe expand or produce some byproduct, then they maybe dwindle or diminish, then they disappear or vanish. Look at trees, look at anything. Businesses. It was a little building. They created this little bakery, and we used to bake bread out of their garage. And then they went on for 5 years, and all of a sudden they bought another garage. They built another garage. Oh, they expanded, you know. And then all of a sudden, then they folded down and closed up, and it was all gone. So it's just a way of seeing things. The real point of the whole idea is to understand the temporality of the material world and how we will also dwindle and we will also vanish. And so, tamasimam jyotirgama, come out of the darkness, go to the light, realize the self, get out of the world of transformation. The spiritual world is not transforming. It's not influenced by time. There's no time as conspicuous by its absence. It's eternal present. It's the eternal now. There's no past and there's no future. It's the eternal now.
I heard you mention that the process of maintenance, even though Vishnu is supposed to be in charge of the process of maintenance, which is being done through
Yeah, he's busy doing lila, and even his maintenance, as I mentioned, he maintains through the sattvic principle. He maintains through a principle. So the sattvic principle, he maintains the principle, and the principle does the work. The principle is brahmanas and religious and dharma. So as long as brahmanas and dharma are there, then everything will be maintained.
So he's, the sattvic principle is the thing which is maintained.
Yeah, he's not directly himself doing it, whereas Shiva and Brahma are directly doing that work and directly in contact with the modes and contaminated. He's not. This verse you can see in 11th canto, chapter 4, verse 5. And that group of verses you can also read. 11, 4, 5. There's discussion there where Krishna himself is explaining about what's the difference between Vishnu and how he works with the mode of goodness and how Brahma and Shiva work with the mode of passion and ignorance. It's completely different. Which is interesting because most of us, we never understood that before. Because we were kind of first, we read it, we always kind of make everything, trying to simplify everything, and some things are a little more complex. But we simplify everything like Gurukul style. Brahma's in charge of passion. Shiva's in charge of ignorance. Vishnu's in charge of goodness. Okay, learn these three things. Who's in charge of passion? But it's not. So we kind of simplify it to the point of being incorrect in the actual understanding of the tattva, which can lead to confusion later. Well, gee, how is Vishnu transcendental? Because he's in goodness, and goodness is material, and if he contacts goodness like Brahma contacts passion, and he must be contaminated. So if the basic foundational principles are clearly delineated and established, then later principles of Lila Tattva, Prema Tattva, and other principles will be able to be integrated and understood in the proper way. Shri Rama Samhita Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.